Let's have a sweet Bible study. Amen. Let's get back into the in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Opening up our Bibles tonight. Let's go into 1 Timothy. We ventured in there last week. So precious here. And we'll just get right at it. Chapter 2 and verse 7. Paul says, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." So here we have this precious Paul, a teacher of the Gentiles. And thanks be to God, it was brought out in different portions of Scripture. But in Galatians 2 and verses 7 and 8, you can just write that down. It speaks of Paul as the apostle to the uncircumcision. And Peter was the apostle to the circumcised. So Peter was the apostle to the Jew. And I do want us to understand a little bit. I think there's somewhat of a confusion here. The Gentile speaks of all of the peoples that are not Jews, all right? So the Gentiles would be all those that didn't practice the religion of the Jew, all right? Now, the Jews, that precious line came through those 12 tribes from Jacob, had those 12 sons, all right? Now, this is about 1,900 years before this time, all right? So 1,900 years before Paul's writing this letter was when those 12 were born. 1,900 years, there was a lot of different peoples marrying in and out of those 12 tribes. Those 12 tribes weren't just of one race. Those 12 tribes were pretty much of every race. I want you to understand that. So when you're talking about a Jew and a Gentile, we're talking about a belief, a way of life. And we're talking about the religious Jew from a religion as opposed to the Gentile that wasn't part of that. But it's not speaking of a race of people. I want you to understand that as well too. Kind of think about that and chew in your seat for a while and you can understand. All right. Now, so in that, as Paul says, that he was a apostle to the Gentiles or a teacher of the Gentiles, we understand here it wasn't just to all Gentiles. All Gentiles weren't going to necessarily go that way. But what Paul was given was this message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it says in Colossians there about it was the more gospel to them that believed. It was those that had that faith that would grow on into the deeper things of God. And so when we see this word and this name Gentiles, what he's speaking of here is those that knew Christ as Savior that would go on and be led into and be in faith in and verity in Paul's gospel. So we have here that there's saved Gentiles and truth in Christ in faith and verity. Now, I want to look at that word verity because I love that word verity. It means truly in truth. You might mark that down. It doesn't mean just truth. It means truly in truth. So faith truly in truth. Faith truly in Christ. My life is truly and only in Christ. Another way that you can interpret verity is irrefutable. Praise the Lord. That's what Paul brought, that we are in Christ and it's irrefutable. I love that. There's not even an argument. There's not even a question. And praise be to God, the faith that is brought through the word and this high calling of God in Christ Jesus' gospel through the Apostle Paul. Brothers and sisters, this gives us the most set apart faith. This gives us the most holy faith. This gives us, praise God, the most mature faith. Because, praise the Lord, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Paul's gospel is the whole counsel of God, nothing withheld. Amen? Amen it is. Praise God. And so I thank the Lord for this encouragement. And that truly in truth, what happens is it brings forth what God is looking for. God says specifically in John, he says, I'm seeking, I'm searching for the true worshiper. The true worshiper, amen? And that true worshiper that worships in spirit and in truth, it's a true worshiper faith. It's a true worshiper faith. That's a faith, praise God, that draws nigh unto him with full assurance and believing. It's a faith that nothing's wavering. It's a faith, praise the Lord, that when God tells me something in his word, that's that. It's so. I thank the Lord. I'm not going just by what I was brought up to know. I'm not going by what my religious organization said. I'm going by what God's word says. Praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord that it was Paul's gospel that took that hidden mystery that was hidden from the prophets and the sons of men. Amen. But now is revealed unto us. But now, through this precious vessel. And I do rejoice because this was the chief of sinners, taking the one that would be the least likely to ever have anything to do with the Lord, taking them from that place of trying to destroy the word of God, and showing such grace and mercy to take that life, not just forgive, not just forgive, but bring mercy, God's mercy. The exact extreme, infinite opposite of what that life deserved. Paul, as the chief of sinners, would have duly and justly deserved the hottest hell. The most burning part of the lake of fire. But yet he took the apostle Paul and he said, oh my. This is going to be the magnificence of my grace. I'm going to take the worst and take him and set him on the highest throne, my throne with me to rule and reign jointly together with me. You think that's love? I'll tell you what, that's love. He loved him in his trespasses and sin. He loved him. He adored him. That's the God who is rich in mercy. And all I can tell each and every one of us to really think about, are we rich in mercy? I pray we are. We should be the most merciful, shouldn't we? Vessels of mercy. Amen? Oh, yes, we should. Oh, he's coming at you. I'll tell you, you best be ready. All right. So what this does, this truly in truth, it brings forth the true worshiper that worships, can you imagine this, lifting up holy hands? Oh my. You mean those nuts lift up hands too? I didn't mind them calling out to the Lord, but when they lifted their hands up, that just was too much for me. I thank the Lord. I love to lift my hands to him. Amen? I just like to lift everything to him. I just want to go. I don't need to fly this way, but I sure will. And I do. And I thank God for it. But that's a joy and a rejoicing. It's a surrendering unto him. It's a praise and a worship unto him. Those holy hands, praise God, are love hands that he puts in us. And notice it says, without wrath and doubting. See, this is a life that is convinced and confident in the one conclusion. And what is that? Our wedlock divine. I thank God we come in here and we dwell together. We dwell together. That's what this gospel does. That's not what we do, but it's what the word of his grace does in our lives. We dwell together. We settle down in marriage together is exactly what that means. And I thank God that is divine. And I'll tell you, it's a big hallelujah, praise his name. And I love that fellowship that we have. And it is rare, brothers and sisters. And it's something to stand in defense of. All the time. All the time. Not watching who's not doing it. That's not what it is. It's preaching the word. The word does it. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to discern. And you continue to preach the word, those that love it will keep going. And those that don't, they'll get going. And that's the truth. That's the way the word does. He drew them to him not with enticing words. He didn't draw them to him with words that were, buttered up and syrupy. He spoke truth in love. And that's all the Lord wanted to draw them with, was the love of Christ. And here it is. This is the love of Christ. It's the word. And the word is sweet to the mouth, and it's bitter to the stomach. Oh, yes, it is. And the thing about the word is it never changes. And the beautiful thing about the word of God is it's our life, because we live by faith. And I thank God. That is that agreement. That's what we're convinced with. That's this mind, praise God, that was also in Christ Jesus. It was perfectly in tune with the will of God. It was perfectly in tune with wanting to please the Father. That's the life that lives in every Christian. But that life has to be fed this word, this message. It has to be protected, praise the Lord. That's why it says, you've kept the word, you've cherished the word. That's going to be that company that wins him. You have kept the faith. Huh? Thou hast a little strength. You've kept the word of my patience. You've endured with it. And there is an enduring with it. There's a cost. It's a sacrifice. But it's not even worthy to be uttered or compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. But I'm just being honest. It ain't joyous for the moment. It's not. I told the Lord many times this last couple weeks. And he kept smiling at me. He didn't have anything to say, but look into my eyes. He is. He's just too much. Amen? Come on. You look into his eyes, he's just too much. But it's working, honey. It's working something that could only be worked this way. At this moment, at this time, praise God. We got it all. And I love that. He didn't tell me just that I had it all. He said, we got it all. He loves me. He needs me. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that in love. Hallelujah. But that rare fellowship that we have that doesn't have distractions doesn't carry wrath and doubt. See, it says there in that 8th verse, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. And isn't that interesting? It's speaking of the ones that are praying and worshiping the Lord together without wrath and doubting. It's not speaking of other people. It's talking about the ones worshiping. Isn't that something? This is talking about us. It's getting right down to the quick here. And what wrath and doubt means here, it means anger and inward reasoning. I kind of almost flipped those. Inward reasoning brings about anger. Anytime I start to reason anything out, I get angry, pretty much. I get frustrated. He knows. Yes, Jesus knows. He's able to deliver, for he knows. And let's all just go to sleep. It's just right, you know. And that's it. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. He's perfect. But see, ones that are carrying wrath and doubting, yet still praying along, I don't know, have you really ever received faith and verity? Because if you don't have that truly in truth in your heart, you'll eventually drop out. This does not work by emotion. This does not work by cerebral. This works by being convinced. Convinced. Amen. That's what this is. I'm convinced. Hallelujah. And he said it in us. Hallelujah. And we go on. And we're going to face a lot of foes. It's going to be a new one all the time. And I thank God. And they can hurt. They can be very dear to our hearts. But a first love is a first love. And by the grace of God, I'm so thankful we got a wedding we got to be about. Hallelujah. Now, in that, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. God help us, as I mentioned earlier. Let's be merciful one to another. Let's be quick to forgive. Let's not judge one another. Amen. You know, we're but men. We mess up. That's why we're here. You know, think about that. Not because you mess up, because you're a mess. You realized you needed a Savior. You need Jesus. That's a wonderful thing to know you need. A lot of people don't. They don't want to call on His name. They don't want grace. They want all of the products of grace, but you'll never have any of the products and the outcome of grace without grace. Let me tell you something. That baby's coming through Sarah and ain't going to come through anyone else. And she may look old and dead and all those different things, but I'm telling you what, that baby's coming through Sarah. Oh, yeah. Think about the grace that's coming through you. Hallelujah. You may not look real good either, huh? But wrath and doubt is a canker. And I pray that when we, and I've heard the expression, you better check it at the door. No, God, deliver you. Every root of bitterness, let's get out of that. Get out of the bitter heart. Bitterness will never win him. Bitterness will never win him. And I'm learning more and more all the time. It ain't going to come through my words. It ain't going to come through my testimony. It's going to come through Him and through prayer. Prayer. I'll tell you what, that in Jesus' name, the Word will step on your toes. If it ain't going to allow you to wrench your heart, it's got boots. And it's uncomfortable. And you got to put your foot down sometime, and there's going to get stepped on. And I mean that. I thank God as He does that. And it's an awakening thing. But really, this judgment stuff has got to end. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's God that justifies. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got a precious brother back there, and he goes into the prisons for years and years. You weren't in there to condemn him, were you, brother? You were there to preach freedom, salvation, liberty. And I always remember going back there. I haven't been near as many times as my sweet brother. I went back to see one of the sweet and I'll even say it, sweet men in this meeting. Praise God. See what God can do? Put him in a situation and in a place where he was going to listen to God's ministry. And he sure did. And he's still listening today, praise the Lord. And I pray he continues to listen. But I went back there in that guard. Oh, man. He said, you're here as a pastor. Oh, yeah. He said, they always get religion when they come in here. He said, they always get Jesus. He said, they always get Jesus when they come in here. And I looked at him and I said, at least they get Jesus. I just walked right on by. But that was hate in the heart, see? Resentment. But thanks be to God. I'll tell you what. Don't be laying anything to the charge of God's elect. See, love wins. And it does. Love always wins. And Jesus' love wins. Jesus' love. Sometimes we try to define it, tell what it's going to look like. But I'll just let this out for Sunday. It's forgiveness. It's forgiveness. Mercy and grace reigns. All else fades away. That's what truly and true faith in Christ is. That carries us over to chapter 2 Timothy. Let's go on over there. It's a big leap here, isn't it, now? So go over to 2 Timothy in verse 1. We come to the next in Christ. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul is an apostle by the will of God. So everything of Paul and of us, the promise of life, the very life of the Son of God, hallelujah, all in Christ. And it's all there because of Jesus. It's all there because of Jesus. It's all there because of Jesus, our calling, our ability, our favor, our power that he gives us. Faith, love, the message of the bride, all because of the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. The promise of life. The promise of all the fullness of God life. The promise of the all, the perfect and complete will of God life. The promise of the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ life. Think of those things that I just read to you. Eternity will be exhausted before we could ever fathom all of that. But you can believe and it can transform you right now with all of it. Every bit of it. And that's the beauty of being in this weakened flesh. He's given us the grace to have faith to believe it. Are you convinced? Are you convinced that the Word of God is true? Really, just ask in Jesus' name. If you're not convinced tonight with these things, I just ask you in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, let me be convinced. It's time for me to be convinced. These aren't just things that are said over and over. This isn't something on a t-shirt or a wall. This is real. This is alive. This is our life in Christ. This is more than the oxygen we breathe, the water we drink. This is it. This is who we are in him. Praise be to God. And then in that life, go to verse 9 of this same chapter. Who hath saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Thank God. Thank God. But according to his own purpose. Isn't that something? You should really thank him. He called you for his own purpose. That's right. You didn't do a thing. You did not do a thing. He loved you. He saw you. He chose you. Isn't that marvelous? All in Christ. Don't ever forget that. You couldn't have been called, chosen, or anything of your own. It's all in his Son. In ages past, praise God, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Oh my, my, oh my. The foreknowledge, predestinated life, whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate, all in Christ. He purposed, brothers and sisters, to save us with his blood. And he called us with a holy calling. Isn't that something? Set apart, divine. He called us with a calling of the Godhead. You see, he didn't just call us and say, get over here, you know, you're going to be my servant. He called us with that same calling that is rejoiced and enjoyed of the Godhead. Now are we the sons of God. He called us his family. In that blood, praise God, he called us in the oneness of him. Amen. He called us to fellowship with him. He called us to reign with him. He called us to be glorified together with him. Holy, like him. He's the only one that is holy. And so what does he say? Be holy. Have you ever asked the Lord, well, how do I be holy? No, you are holy. Be holy. This mind is holy. This mind is reigning. This is my crown. It's the crown. If it jointly rules and reigns with him, praise be to God. We have to think like him. We have to believe like him. He didn't doubt that when he went to the cross, when he descended those seven steps down, all of those things, all of that suffering, he never doubted that the Father would raise him to that glory. Did he? Never did. It's going to take that same faith. Isn't it wonderful that we live by the faith of the Son of God? He gave you that faith. Just believe in the faith that he gave you. It's there. It's there. He gave you that faith because the life of Jesus Christ lives in you. If you think apart from that life you could ever believe in him, you're wrong. It's Christ in you. It has to be that life. That's the life that's drawn to him. That's the only life that can grow in him. It has to be his life. My life couldn't have done it. That's why it had to die. Thank you, Jesus. I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, but yet it's not me. It's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. How much full of grace and truth will you allow Christ in you to grow? To the measure, the stature, the fullness of him. You think he wants you to be like him? He really does. He really does. He wants you to grow up into that fullness, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Not just a lot of it. You'll be close to me. He says, all of it. I want you to be like me. All right. All right. Come on. Not according to our own works. Amen. Oh, I love that. But see, we have a calling, and how he loves to tell us his eternal love for us. See, that's the passion. No one earned or earns a thing. It's all his grace and mercy. Now, never forget here when he says his own purpose. That word is prothesis. And that word prothesis means to set in plain view. According to his own purpose, to set in plain view. He set that cherubim in plain view, didn't he? You know, when you walked into Solomon's temple and you walked back in there, you saw two cherubim over the mercy seat. And then you saw two big cherubim over that with their wings touching and then touching the wall. It was really the first thing you'd ever see when you walked in there, even into the Holy of Holies. It was the crowning on that ark, the cherubim. On his heart, on his mind was always to set her in plain view. Always has been. His purpose from ages past, think of what it said here, in Christ, the rib portion out from among him. His purpose in ages past, it's not good for man to live alone. Out of his body to make his wife and make known to all, to set in plain view. That was his purpose. To present her with his glory, to make known to all that he has loved her. And all by his grace in him, magnificent, magnifying only him grace, set in view his masterpiece of grace. She took so much of that grace. Oh my, she is full of grace and truth just like him. Now think of this. This was all given to us when? In Christ, before the world began. Given. To give. To bestow every necessary thing. Before space and time. Before space and time, all in Christ. I was thinking. Scientists always ask, what was at the beginning? How did it all begin? I got the answer, the bride. Amen. No, wait, come on here. Let's go back and read verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. How holy is that calling? Is it a high calling? Is it the hope of his calling? Oh, yes, it is. Is it to rule and to reign jointly together with me? Oh, yes, it is. You got some other calling that I don't know about? I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's got to be the calling in Christ. Oh, yes, it is. So I am thankful to that. Before space and time, the bride was his sole purpose. The joy that was set before him to endure the cross. Man, I want to run around all over here. I just do. So, let's go and close this out. Here it is. Here's the way and here's the path. Let's go down to the next in Christ in verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Paul's saying it. You heard this through Paul. All right? Yes, you did. In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. That's some marvelous two words to us, isn't it, brethren? Hold fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Those are sound words. Those are your sound words. Those are my sound words. Sound. Oh my. Not just teaching the message of truth, but sound words, praise God. Sound words, the whole counsel, free from any error. Strong in grace. That's what sound words are. They're strong in grace. Do you think the bridal message is strong in grace? I think it's, well, I got some words for it. Oh, Jesus. It's strong in grace. It's not just teaching this message, but truth in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Truly in truth. Truly in love. And I love that because you have the Trinity sitting right here. Truth in faith and love. You have the truth, which is Jesus Christ. I think of the faith. And I think of the Father having such confidence in His Son. I've put it all in Him. And I rest. Isn't that what the Father encourages us, the people of God? Enter into the rest of God. And God's rest was seen that everything was in His Son. That's faith. And then finally, love. Praise be to God for the Holy Ghost. Takes this wonderful love and sheds it abroad in our heart. And what a bounty it is, brothers and sisters, to just abide in these strong words. The abundance of His grace and mercy here overwhelming our soul. I know we almost can't contain it. Over and over we get together, and I'll tell you what, I just want to burst. But the love of Christ, it constrains us. Because, praise the Lord, that's what the new wine always does. But see, a new wine in an old skin, it busts it right up. But we're brand new. We're a new creation. I got me a new skin. Hallelujah. And I do. And it expands and it ever grows. Hallelujah. It puts it in. And we know this. And it's true. When you grow, there's a pain. They're called growing pains. But oh, the result of growing up. What an abounding it is. So much so, till someday, all the perfect and complete will, faith that is authored and finished, faith made sight when I see Him, I'm like Him. Maybe tonight I be in that glorified body, just like unto his own. Before space and time. Before space and time. And ages past. That calling. What was beginning? His love for you. His passion for you. All of this. All of this. Is made for you. It's for him. And I can have the Holy Ghost put that all together. If I'm for his own purpose and all's for him, it's all for me. In this world, you'll have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome. And I will say for thee. Praise be to God. Let's stand and be dismissed.